He's looking for those who will rise up with the courage and spirit of Elijah to oppose spiritual adultery.
This is Living Truth for Today with Bill Rudge, a ministry dedicated to reaching the world with the good news of Jesus Christ and challenging believers to reach their maximum potential in Christ. Is our faith strong enough so as not to waver even if we were surrounded by hundreds of people zealously worshiping another God? This message comes from chapters 17 and 18 of 1 Kings, and it's entitled, A Call for Modern-Day Elijahs. Now, here's Bill Rudge.
Ahab was king, and Ahab was one of the most wicked kings for the whole nation of Israel. And he continued in the sins of Jeroboam. Remember, after Solomon had died, the kingdom was split into Judah, the southern tribes, and Israel, the north. Jeroboam was the first king of the split northern tribes. And that's why over and over God says in the Old Testament, you did the sins of Jeroboam. You followed in the sins of Jeroboam because he set up idolatry and caused the people of God to turn and follow other gods. And so Ahab followed in the sins of Jeroboam, but the Bible says he was more wicked than anyone before him. And he married Jezebel. And Jezebel was from Sidon. Her father was king of Tyre and Sidon. And she brought, when she married Ahab to make this alliance, she brought her Baal worship. And she had 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah that she fed at her table. And they caused all of the northern tribes of Israel to turn to idolatry. But wherever spiritual idolatry, wherever there is backsliding, God is always faithful and raises up his prophetic voice to speak to the people. And so God raises up a man like Elijah. And Elijah had been prepared by God to be able to stand strong. And so Elijah comes on the scene and goes to King Ahab and says, there'll be no dew or no rain for the next several years except by my word. Now, what do you think Ahab would have done? Ahab would have killed Elijah, as he did many other people. And so what God's Spirit tells Elijah to do is to flee. And he goes to a brook east of the Jordan River. And there he lives off the water from the brook, and God sends the ravens to feed Elijah. So number one, God, the true God of the Bible, will truly speak to those that are truly walking in obedience and truly tuned into him. And secondly, when you are hearing his voice and walking in faith and obedience, this God will provide and meet your needs. I tell people everywhere I go, God has given me five P's. The five P's he's given me is, number one, he's given me his provision. For the years I've walked with him, he's met every need. Oh, I've gone through difficult times. Sometimes he's used garden vegetables to keep me eating. But this God has met every need. He's met my provision. Secondly, he's protected me. I've been threatened, and so many times my life should have been taken, and this God has supernaturally protected me. Thirdly, he's given me his peace. He's not promised you and I an easy existence, but this God has promised me, and he promises you, that if we are walking in obedience to him and honoring him, no matter what we face, God can give us his peace in the midst of our circumstance. Fourthly, he's promised me his presence. David said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And fifthly, the last P that God promises us is his power. Sometimes people say, well, you know, Bill, you have a record of God doing over 100 documented miracles through your life and ministry. You've seen God do the impossible. Surely, you can decree whenever you want God to do something. But I cannot. I'm powerless when I go off in the flesh and try to decree God's word. The power and ability and victory I've seen is when I've got on my knees and God said, go here, do this. And then when I'm walking in that obedience, then God's power is manifest. So two things, people. Number one, allow God to be sovereign and Lord in your life and allow him to move in healing. Allow him to do in a miraculous way. Allow him to move and guide and direct and protect in his time and his way. And when he speaks it, step out and obey. Don't quench the spirit. But let God be sovereign and don't you dictate God. And secondly, do not rely on mimics and gimmicks and imitations of the genuine power of God's Holy Spirit. Because we will never see the genuine power of God's Spirit if we rely on imitation. God has taught me that if I want to see His resurrection power manifest in my life and ministry, I have got to have integrity and not resort to imitation and counterfeit techniques that many in the body of Christ are feeling pressured to do so. So we see this Ahab and Elijah having this confrontation. And Elijah is at the brook now being fed by the ravens. And the brook dries up. And Elijah faced difficulties. One after the other, he faced difficulties. And so the Lord speaks to him and tells him to go into Sidon. And there in Sidon, he's going to be fed by a widow. And he comes to the city gate and he sees a widow and he asks her for a drink. And she goes to get him water. And he says, but before you get me a drink, make me a cake of flour. She says, listen, I've got a few drops of flour left. I was going home to bake a cake for my son and I, and we were going to die. And this man of God, because the Lord had told him, he's not doing it presumptuously. Many speak out presumptuously. God told me I'm supposed to build a new ministry center. God told me to go to Africa. They're speaking presumptuously. It is a word the Lord has not truly spoken. And in those situations, it's not fulfilled. But when it's truly a word the Lord has spoken, although difficulty might rise up, the end result, God has taught me, the end result 100% of the time will be victory. So he's not speaking presumptuously, and he speaks to this widow that if she makes him a cake first, her flour jar will not run dry and her jug of oil will not run dry. And in obedience, this woman does this, and there for many, many months, God supernaturally fills the flour of the widow and the oil. And then her son dies. More tragedy on Elijah. Her son dies. She says, oh man of God, did you come to expose my sins? And he cries out to God and lays on the child three times. And God resurrects that child. But God allowed Elijah to face all these difficulties because God does not want wimpyified, sissyified Christians. God wants those that have been trained and developed. You know, if you go into the Marine Corps or the Green Beret or into martial art training, you're not going to sit there, you know, and have simplified training. You have tough, rigorous training to develop you to handle what's ahead. So too, in God's spiritual boot camp, He's allowing you to go through rigorous training that He can prepare you for what's ahead. And He did this with Elijah. And He allowed the miracles in Elijah's life to prepare him to have the faith needed when he came against his ultimate encounter with the prophets of Baal. And now, God leads Elijah to go and confront Ahab. He's prepared him. This very Ahab, who's seeking his life, is going to put him to death. God leads Elijah to go to him. And as soon as Ahab sees Elijah, what does he say? Oh, you troubler of Israel. Ahab, who's involved in spiritual adultery, who's in rebellion against God, who's got the northern tribes of Israel worshiping idolatry and serving Baal, says to the prophet of God, you are the troubler of Israel. You want to know something? The New Age movement is beginning to teach that if you do not unite on a global scale for the common good of the world, you are the Antichrist. Isn't that amazing? Satan twists God's word. We know the Antichrist to be a supposed charismatic world savior, uniting the world on a global scale, uniting the political, the economic, and the religious society of our world in a unified rebellion against the God of the Bible, pretending that He is the return of Jesus Christ, but not the physical Jesus with nail prints in His hands and feet, but the Christ Spirit. And those who refuse to unite for this, they are beginning to say, you are the Antichrist. This is what King Ahab said to Elijah. And Elijah said to him, gather for me the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and we will see who is Lord. And Elijah went before the people of Israel, and he said, if Baal is God, serve him. But if the Lord is God, serve him. And the people didn't even respond. They were so caught into spiritual idolatry and so desensitized by all the occultism going on, that they did not even respond to a true prophet of God. So Elijah challenged, he said, you're 450 prophets of Baal, I'm one prophet of God. What we'll do is we'll cut up two bulls, put the bull on the altar, you pray to your God, I'll pray to mine. The one that comes through fire will be the one that's truly God. They agreed. And until about noon, you know, they began to cry out to their God. Nothing happened. And then about noon, Elijah began to taunt them, said, maybe he's gone somewhere. You better call a little louder. And they began to cry out louder and cut their bodies with spears and swords. You know, like as I travel around the world, it's a total stark contrast. Biblical Christianity, the God I serve coming and dying for me as my sacrifice, for me to have a restored relationship, to walk an abundant, victorious life with Him, and the other gods I see that they serve around the world in occultism and voodoo and Hinduism and idolatry, they serve these idols that can't see and can't hear and can't speak, and they cry out to them, and they cut their bodies, and they crawl on knees that are bleeding, trying to appease this idol that can't see and can't hear, that Paul says in reality are really demons. So there is some power behind that, but far inferior to the God of the Bible. By evening, nothing. Elijah says, now, get me 4 jugs of water and douse my sacrifice. Get 4 more. Do it again. And there's water filling the trench around it and all over the altar. And Elijah cries out to God and said, Lord God, let these people see and know that you are Lord and God and you have called me to do this. And God comes down with fire and he takes and consumes the sacrifice and the wood and the stones of the altar and the dirt around there and licks up all the water and the trench around there. And the people fall before God knowing that the Lord, he is God and not Baal. And Elijah has 450 prophets of Baal killed. And he probably thinks that now they're going to turn all their hearts back. Ahab goes back and tells Jezebel, and she goes, Elijah, by this time tomorrow, you'll be like one of the prophets of Baal. And in our humanness, sometimes after the miracle on the mountaintop, we get caught in the valley again where Elijah's at. He ran away. But God met with him, dealt with him one last time, and you never again, after that encounter, you never see Elijah ever back down again. Because he comes back after God deals with him and he confronts Ahab and in many other situations risks his life and God protects him till he takes him to heaven in a whirlwind. And God is looking for modern day Elijahs. He's looking for those who will rise up with the courage and spirit of Elijah to oppose spiritual adultery. That's why a few years ago when I was in a week of prayer and fasting, God spoke to my heart and I put this on a little plaque in my room. Lord, use me to turn the hearts of your people back to you, or let me die trying. And I've given my life, I've risked my life many times, because my desire is to see the hearts of the people turn back to the Lord. I lived in the world for so many years. I had every possible pleasure and every possible thing the world has to offer. And it never brought me fulfillment and satisfaction. What I'm saying to you young people and adults is this. I have tried everything the world has to offer. It's an eventual dead end. And if you are a lukewarm Christian, you are just as foolish. Because we are living in a day and age where God wants to move in hearts and lives. Where God is coming back in the very near future. Where things are happening on a global scale. And God is calling the body of Christ to clean out the hidden and pet sins and to make Jesus Christ Lord of their lives.
Amen. We are called to be as sure of God as Elijah was, so that in the last days, when persecutions increase, as God's word tells us they will, we can stand firm in our faith and know that our eternity is secure in God. You've been listening to Living Truth for Today with Bill Rudge. Learn more at billrudge.org or write us at Living Truth for Today, P.O. Box 108, Sharon, Pennsylvania, 16146. Please pray for this ministry as we strive to reach out in Jesus' name. And thank you for listening.